The following is paid programming.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage, LLC. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management. The Financial Guys and Independent Solutions are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, LLC. The political views on this show do not reflect the views of Peak Brokerage. This show is not intended to provide specific legal, tax, investment, or other professional advice. Please consult a professional for your specific situation. This radio show is for informational purposes only and is not intended to solicit or recommend any particular security. The information discussed is obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy and completeness are not guaranteed.
It's time to talk money.
Nothing to see here.
This is the show where money meets politics.
We will answer your financial questions. We do manage money Monday through Friday.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Now, we have a ton of fun with this show. Long story short, he said, you're offending a whole group of people. Well, duh.
Yeah. No, we don't want them. Well, I didn't do anything wrong, and now I'm going to plead the fifth. So screw you.
Yeah.
Like, really? I mean, you know, I added the screw you, of course, but we've done this show for 20 years.
Ever. I'm getting sick of winning.
And if you want to join us on the air,
we'll welcome
Tom in Boston,
Don in Rochester,
Rambo Jim in North Tonawanda. It's hard to believe that 20 years has gone by so fast.
Now, live from the WBEN studios, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
All righty, welcome back. This is Mike Hayflick, not Mike Lomas.
Right.
And I'm not with Glenn Wiggle, I'm with Jeff Boren.
Hello, everybody. It's going to be a fun show for you today. We've got a special guest in studio, actually a number of special guests that are joining, so it's going to be a pretty packed day, talking about a lot of different things. But don't forget, at the end of the day, we still manage money for a living, so if you want to give our office a call or have any financial questions, to call us, 633-1515.
That's going to be during the week, and we are going to be plugging a couple things, couple events. I know I'm involved in. You've got a scholarship you want to definitely plug, I know. And if you want to reach us, this is always an open mic session, as you know. I know many of our avid, frequent listeners, you're actually now finding other ways to listen. So 1 to 3 Saturdays has been going on for many, many years. What, nearly 20?
I think it's 20.
We just had our 20th anniversary, the Financial Guys did. So Mike and Glenn have been getting some fun calls about that. And,
oh, I forgot
and,
to bring
congratulations.
The crystal to them.
You know what? So they took a week off this week, I guess, to celebrate, right?
No,
they
congratulations, Mike and Glenn, 20 good years.
That's an amazing run. Lots of listeners over the years have kept in tune with these guys, and we're happy to be part of that. 803-0930 if you want to chime in today, *930 from your cell, 1-800-616-9236. I always forget this, but the text line, 30930. And if you're listening on WFTL and 850 in South Florida, you can also reach us here, again, 1-800-616-9236. If you are listening and you want to talk to one of the reps that we're connected with down in South Florida, you can reach that office at 561-641-5050. And I'll try and remind you as this hour goes by. Happy to have the South Florida audience in the first hour of our show every Saturday.
That's right. Welcome, Florida. A lot of listeners down there, I understand. It's a growing show, so it's good news.
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, Frank here always doing his best. We always appreciate Frank. I was trying to get into the building, and he said, oh, Jason's not here today. I said, really? I'm going to really mess with him next week, you know, or when I'm here next.
Yeah, Frank is glued to that seat. So
Jason's
not
used to messing with you in certain ways.
Jason has a real clever way of giving me confidence, I'll say. I can't even repeat some of the things he'll say to me, but it's a lot of fun.
All right, so a couple events coming up at the office. Mike,
yeah,
you've got
yeah.
a Social Security workshop coming up at our office.
We do. This July 30th, in fact, Wednesday already, we had an event on the 16th, and it filled in a couple days, like 50-plus people. So immediately, we open up July 30th. It's at 6:15 p.m. on a Wednesday. Ron Reinstein and I were helping people every single day, hopefully helping them make the most suitable decisions claiming Social Security benefits at the right time. And sometimes what we even do is we discuss all the strategies available, and there might be little secrets that you're not aware of, and we can uncover and reveal those secrets to people and really literally bring tens of thousands of dollars into their households that they may otherwise not had known about.
Right.
So, yes, thank you, Jeff. Wednesday, July 30th, this week, call 633-1515 to register. Or you can go right to our website, and you can actually register online. I know we still have a few seats left. I can't even believe it. It's really amazing. Just like you deal with college planning, and every year how many juniors and seniors are there.
It just keeps refilling and refilling.
It does. But same I'm finding with Social Security. Every day people are turning 60, 62, and need help.
If you're a parent and you've got a son or daughter in high school, or a grandparent, let's say one of your grandchildren is in high school right now, they have just a couple days to get the scholarship application. I run a not-for-profit organization called Send Your Kids to College. And on the sendyourkidstocollege.com website, they can go on. They can do the application right online. They have to write a short essay, but pull them off their cell phones, off their Xboxes, or whatever they may. They're not playing outside. They don't do that anymore.
No.
But it is due July 31st. So we've got a couple days for them to work on it. They've got to write a short essay. But it's $1,000. We're doing three $1,000 scholarships. And the good news is it is limited only to Western New York students. So this isn't something California kids are going to win. You have to live in Western New York and attend high school in order to apply. So it's fairly limited. We're near the cutoff point of 1,000 applications. So, you know, get them off the couch, get them off their iPhone and Xbox,
sure,
and have them work on that. Go to sendyourkidstocollege.com.
Awesome. My second daughter, as you know, Jeff, Madison, is going to be heading off to school up to SUNY Oswego. And my wife is very integrally involved in sort of like the planning and getting textbooks and ordering things. Well, the whole idea of used textbooks and renting them and the price tag on just books alone now. I mean, maybe we'll talk a little bit today about the exorbitant costs of college tuition, board, but also fees, hidden fees that I'm hearing of everybody talk about. Right. Health insurance fees for health insurance you don't need.
Right. Well, unless you can get the waiver. But, you know, what's happening now is colleges, they publish their tuition increase. So what do they do? It's kind of similar to New York State.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really increasing tuition this year, but we've added these fees.
Right, right.
So they don't have to publish an increase in tuition, but
so
the cost is going up.
Effectively, cost goes up. And that's what people care about. What's the bottom line, right?
But this
bottom
is the line. Time of the year where I get the panic calls because, you know, come August, the bill is due, and planning hasn't been done ahead of time, and all of a sudden we're in a scramble. Well, how are we going to pay for this?
Yeah, and that's often when people make the worst decisions, right?
Absolutely.
When you're under duress,
right?
You got your young teenager son daughter saying, "Oh, come on, I really want to go there. You know, Jimmy's going there. I just heard, you know, Jason's heading up there."
Right, and I love this school. You know, your son or daughter loves the brand new BMW, but it doesn't mean you have to go out and get that for them either when they're 16. So
in my teaching years, I had a friend, and he'd always wear Syracuse orange, right, on days where you could dress a little casually. And I said, "You better watch it, pal. You wait. Your kids are going to grow up, and they're going to love Syracuse. Wait till you see the price tag, right?"
Oh, yeah.
And I'm still going to see if that's the case.
It starts with a 7.
It's unbelievable. So anyway, we're gonna really be covering a lot today. Trump is winning more. It's becoming a bit boring. He's sort of like the New England Patriots to me now, right?
Yeah, starting to think. It's kind of a good thing that the Supreme Court is stacked a little bit to the right.
Well, I was starting to wonder because the 5-4 decisions, they weren't all going in favor of conservative-minded people and Trump. I mean, I was thinking, you know what? What can the left say? Because we're not getting every victory.
So
however,
$2.5 billion finally earmarked and appropriated.
That's right.
Go towards building the wall
out of the Defense Department budget.
Right.
So they can now go ahead and further secure the southern border. Of course, the naysayers out there.
Oh,
it's not going to help. It's not going to help.
Schumer's already online. Shame on him for taking money from the military.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like he's a big supporter of the military.
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness, yes. Then the Mueller investigation debacle. Oh,
you
yeah,
know, I
yeah.
I call that Forrest Gump goes to Congress.
Wasn't it something?
I couldn't watch it.
It was painful.
I felt bad for him.
I didn't see all of it, but the clips I did see where he's flipping through a binder saying, excuse me, I'm looking for that.
It's almost like, well, I know I put this report together, but I haven't read it yet.
You know, it was not a good look for him.
Pretty much a win for the Republicans and for Trump.
I think, I feel like we won this a while ago. I feel like we won it a while ago, but we have to keep winning it.
We really won it 3 years ago when it started and shouldn't have. But
seriously.
Now the real problem, you know, is hopefully they investigate, you know, what caused it. But I'd like to just see us drop it and stop talking. It's been 3 years.
Yeah, they won't
over
let it.
$30 million spent on this phony investigation.
Mm-hmm. They went all in, though, like months, years ago. And they just can't. They don't have any other chips to play. They don't. They're just waiting. They like Jerry Nadler. this guy, here he is in front of, you know, his group saying, what is it now, 100 reps on his side to do some maybe further eventually get to impeachment hearings. And it just isn't going to end. What else? Geez, economy is better than expected.
Right. U.S. economy is still growing, still clicking. We're going to talk a little bit with our special guest about the U.S. and China and trade and what's going on there because he's got some firsthand experience. But, yeah, generally we're looking good. You know, the returns and some of the earnings coming out of corporate America, you know, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're splitting good and bad, but yeah. we're all in all, we're coming coasting neutral. So
that's exactly a great way to say it, like the good and the bad, because I see it like it's a tug of war. You've got the great economic, you know, better than ever, like what, 10 years of economic news under 2% GDP growth. We get to 3.1. We're still at 2.1 last quarter. Consumer spending accelerated, they say here, to a sizzling 4.3% growth rate after only a 1.1% annual gain in January through March quarter. So, and particularly auto sales. So I'm thinking of it, and I'm not an economist, but I'm thinking, all right, they cut taxes, more people to work, but it takes a little while before people working have the money to spend. I mean, it could take 6 months to a year. And finally, they say, holy cow, honey, we can replace that big, you know, heap of garbage there in the backyard that barely gets us from point A to point B. Let's go upgrade our car.
Well, you know, if you notice one thing, too, I follow, you know, some of the Instagrams and Twitters. But if you notice, every week you'll see two or three positive messages about the economy from the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an accident. It's done on purpose because that's boosting up consumer confidence. And when people are confident and feel good about everything, they spend money.
Absolutely.
Back in 2008 and 2009, you had people with guaranteed jobs. You know, like your former job as a teacher.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, you got more than 10 years in. You know, you're not likely to be let go.
Sure.
But they still felt gloom and doom, and like, we're not going to spend money. We're going to hunker down. Now everybody's feeling confident, feeling like the economy's good, everything's good, so they're out spending money.
Absolutely. So, yeah, again, that tug of war, it's sort of the positives of higher consumer spending, record unemployment, record employed people, right? Record low unemployment rates. But that's offset by negatives of the trade impasse with China, the things we see politically. And we're gonna explore that a little bit today. Again, if you'd like to touch base here with us, 803-0930, star 930 from your cell. And those at WFTL 850 in South Florida, you can call us at 1-800-616-9236. We're going to take a quick break, and then you can introduce our special guest here today. Mike Hayflick, Jeff Boron here in studio for Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle. We are the Financial Guys, where money meets politics. If you think like us, folks, call us at 716-633-1515 throughout the week. Unbelievable team. We'll get to that later. I mean, we just have so many specialists. If you go to a shop that says, oh, yeah, we can do it all, but there are only three people in that office, you should really be a little skeptical. When you come into our office, it's highly unusual that you're only seeing one person now. Any of my clients that are doing a review, they often want to see maybe Mike Sparazza, auto, home, insurance quotes, right?
Right.
Just take a fresh look at all those fixed costs called insurance and see if we can do better for you. And they'll look at, you know, countless different insurance companies. Jeff, we just had a little back and forth this week with someone looking for college planning advice. And they were a little bit of an early starter. I think the junior heading into senior year next year.
Oh, that's ideal.
Yeah, and there was still time, right? So I thought, oh, this is great. We have to get you set up with Jeff. So many other people here in our office that can help. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930.
Alrighty, welcome back. Mike Hayflick, Jeff Boron, The Financial Guys radio show here on WBEN. Happy to be here. Another nice Saturday. July's been a great month for activities,
you know,
events.
Mike and Glenn always pick the really nice days.
They do.
Months. They don't pick the rainy Saturdays. You know, those are the days that we're out. You know,
Yeah. It's been great. It's been awesome. Listening to AC/DC here. Get any concerts this summer for you?
I haven't yet.
Seen anything?
No. Summer went by really fast so far, so I got to get some stuff in. It's what I usually do. I wait and wait and wait, and then all of a sudden it's August, and I'm saying, I got to get things done. Yeah. You got to get things in.
Spur of the moment, a few weeks ago, went down to see Peter Frampton. Oh, man, he's still good.
Is he really?
Still really good. Doesn't have the hair.
He's not the heartthrob anymore.
Doesn't have the hair. Oh, it's some he is. You should see. You know, a lot of these fans, but not.
Sense of crush.
I wasn't. great musician though. Talk about playing a guitar. You
but
know,
anyways, I want to welcome. We have a very special guest in studio today. Actually, traveled. I'd say halfway around the world, three quarters of the way around. So, anyways, I have the pleasure of bringing in Roland Paulette, who is. President and CEO of DSM. DSM is a Dutch company, and Roland is actually a dual citizen of Holland, and that's not the town outside of East Aurora, that's the Netherlands, and the U.S., and he's been living in Asia for, 7 or 8 years now. We want to talk a little bit about China, what it's like to live, because most of us in Western New York, we're kind of we know a little bit about what's going on.
Yeah.
We hear a little
what
bit about
the news,
but we don't know what China's really like and what's going on, so we thought we'd bring an expert in. Roland runs the Composites and Plastics Division, the other division of DSM. I didn't know this till I spoke to him last night. Mm-hmm. They make 65% of the vitamins in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
wow.
Who knew?
Yeah, this is a great treat for us, because we do. We often talk about, obviously, Trump. The likes, the dislikes, the pros, the cons, the things he's doing, the things we're waiting for him to do. And then we hear on the media, the mainstream media, the biggest fear should be Russia, right? It should be Russia and their interference with our elections. But what about China?
Right.
Isn't China a threat as well?
So Roland, tell us about you going to China, living, where you've lived.
Sure, I'm happy to. So thank you very much for having me. It's a great pleasure. Even though it's a great day outside, it's fantastic observing you guys and listening to your show.
Thank you.
So I moved to China. I've been going to China, actually, since China opened up economically back in the early 90s. And I always tell people, in the early 90s, I would get run over by bicycles when I was in Shanghai. That's very much changed. Economically, it has very much advanced China, mm-hmm. and today you get overrun by BMWs and Mercedes, and mm-hmm. there's a lot of wealth that has been created there. But living there, you don't have an appreciation for the country unless you actually live there. Mm-hmm. And to see what happens, to see the economic growth that has happened, to have personally observed some of the issues and the concerns that the Trump administration has brought forth with respect to intellectual property. I've lived it. I'm a living example of what happens and how you have to operate in China in order to be successful there.
Hmm.
It's very misunderstood. China is very misunderstood. People think it's a communist country. It's a capitalist country that is run centrally, that wants to do nothing more than crush everyone around them. They want to be an absolute dominant force economically and we'll take no prisoners in order to get there. Right?
Eliminate their competition. And I've often heard, like, when they look at their own economy and their own aspirations, they look in terms of, like 50, 100-year periods of time, not, like, from one election cycle to another. Is that true?
That's absolutely correct. I mean, the good example of that is that President Xi mm-hmm. has appointed himself or through the central party to a lifelong appointment.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Done.
Yeah, I tried it at home. It didn't work.
Yeah.
So he's appointed himself lifelong in order to have consistency. China is 3,000 years old. There's mm-hmm. there's a culture that's 3,000 years old, but you cannot mistake the fact that China has one mission. China, the Chinese government, the Chinese people, mm-hmm. and that is absolutely to dominate.
Interesting.
Wow. So tell what you have a plant there? Is that what you operate?
Yeah. So the company I work for, Vitamins, I'm not in the vitamin business, but I'm actually in the composites and plastics business. We do business with all the major brands. Every single cell phone in the world has a piece of our plastic in it. And the majority of the electronics, and we have electronics business and automotive business, all the electronics are basically made in South China.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also basically made by Foxconn, which is a very big company. Allegedly, they're opening up a plant in Wisconsin. I don't think that will ever happen. And so they're made in South China. And I have about 500-600 people working in China supplying electronics companies in China.
Wow. So you have all the major cell phone companies, even the one that sounds like a fruit?
Yeah. One of our biggest customers is a company that we can't mention, but it's the only cell phone that has fruit on the back of the cell phone.
That's a great combination.
So what have been some of the challenges of operating in China right now for you?
Yeah, so personally, I'll tell you, business-wise, the challenges are, it was a lot easier back in the 90s to come in because they invited people to come in, and you got permits and you got support, and there was no problem. Now it's becoming a lot more difficult, right? It's a lot more difficult to operate in China. You need permits. You get a lot of invasion by the government into your operations. You have to give up all your plans. So if you build a plant, you have to give your plans to the government, and they have to review it. Well, it's a review, not so much of the plant, but it's a review of the technology. Personally, I'll give you a little anecdote. It's a really interesting. I first moved there. I move into an apartment. It's a really nice apartment building. And it has a doorman. And after a week, I go to the doorman. I said, you know, there's a real problem here because I'm watching TV. I had two American channels. I had, I think I had Fox. I had, definitely had CNN and CNBC. And on CNN, every 10 minutes or so, my screen would blank out. And I go to the doorman and says, you know, something wrong with my TV, something wrong with the cable. He says, oh, what are you watching? He says, CNN. I said, is it getting gray? He said, yeah, it's getting gray. He says, oh, that's no problem. No problem with TV. It's a story about China.
Is that right?
It's you know, live
we
censorship.
We don't appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, we don't censor anything here, unfortunately.
Oh, no,
they
no.
They try to, you know, some of the... Yeah.
I know some of the leftists would want to start censoring some of the things they're
we
saying.
We don't like the message. We're just going to black out your TV for 10 minutes.
That's something. Yeah, I know we're going to come up on a hard break. So when we get back, we are talking to Roland Paulette, and he is... the CEO, and we'll get into this, of DSM and World Traveler, stayed in many countries, a very unique view of what goes on in China. So we're going to pick that up just after this break here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at star 930.
All righty, welcome back. Mike Hayflick and Jeff Boron here in studio this week. Sitting in, I guess. We're always sitting. We should stand, but we are sitting in for Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle, taking some well-deserved time off. Another
beautiful
sunny day, Saturday. And we're really pleased to be sitting here with Roland Paulette. And the breaks go by really fast. We're having some really good conversation here between these commercial breaks. And Roland has a really unique perspective on what it's like to be in China and to work in China. He is the president and CEO of the Engineering Plastics Division at DSM, and it's a huge, huge corporation. So your unique perspective on this has got to be really cool for our listeners. So, folks, if you're listening, you want to call in, ask Roland any questions, 803-0930, star 930 from your cell. Here in the area or even outside the area, down in South Florida, 1-800-616-9236.
All right. So we're going to start off. We've got a little clip from Donald Trump that I want to play to introduce the topic of intellectual property and get firsthand from Roland what's really going on in China, how the Chinese operate.
Today, I'm directing the United States Trade Representative to examine China's policies, practices, and actions with regard to the forced transfers of American technology and the theft of American intellectual property. As President of the United States, it's my duty and responsibility to protect the American workers, technology, and industry from unfair and abusive actions. We will stand up to any country that unlawfully forces American companies to transfer their valuable technology as a condition of market access.
All right. Now, Donald Trump just said a lot there that I don't think a lot of people appreciate what's going on. And I actually didn't understand how serious of an issue it is mm-hmm. until I got the chance to spend some time with Roland. So, Roland, you want to add to what Donald is talking about?
Yeah, sure. I would kind of divide it up into two pieces, right? So the first one is the transfer is real, right? So the transfer of technology is real. And it particularly comes into play when you build plants, right? So you have to build plants in China to operate in China. It's a prerequisite. Mm-hmm. You get a lot of incentives to build those plants by the Chinese governments, less now than before. But as a condition of building those plants, as I said before, you turn over the layout of your plant, right? It's for quote unquote approval purposes, but you turn out the complete layout of these plants in order for you to be able to build them. And there's ways around it. A lot of corporations have found ways that, you know, you turn it over, but you don't turn over everything. So it's difficult to back engineer. The second part of it is, and this is a lot what happened also with Japan back in, you know, 30, 40 years ago, right? There's reverse engineering of all products. And it's not seen as a Chinese, it's not seen as something bad, mm-hmm. right? We at our standards and my personal standards, right? We see it as really bad, and sure. and stealing property and stealing intellectual property, really bad. But as a Chinese, remember, they're out to dominate the world, mm-hmm. and they will do anything they have to do in order to get ahead. And that's happens a lot. And there's a lot of companies I've talked to, a lot of people, a lot of colleagues that were going in trusting, were partnerships, and 90% of the time, they end up being super disappointed with their partnership because sure. it mysteriously another plant right down the road pops up and it looks a lot like the plant that they have
so, with their partner. So it's kind of like playing a
and
game
they're making
of
something very similar.
But, yeah, like I've seen this before. Yeah, it's like a game of chess, though, where right. I'm playing by one set of rules and Roland, you're playing by another set. And you say, oh, checkmate. I'm like, no, you can't make that move. No, you can't. But
you know,
they
can. You think about these companies that have invested millions and millions in the U.S. Mm-hmm. in technology and in infrastructure and how to develop things. Then all of a sudden they put it in China and it gets copied.
Sure.
And you're out of business.
Yeah.
You know, because the Chinese are going to make it cheaper and better.
Yeah.
So you have any real life stories about things that you've seen out there in the industry that Chinese have copied and done better and put?
Yeah, so I was there. Currently I live in Singapore. I've lived there for the past 3 years, but the 4 years before that I lived in China, in Shanghai. But I was just in Shanghai 2 months ago, and we know the Land Rover Discovery. And I'm at a traffic light, and I look at the car next to me, and I says, wow, that's funny. It looks like a Discovery, but there's something about it. I turn to the front of the car, and it's called a Land Wind. And it's basically an exact copy of the Land Rover Discovery. And this company...
changed it. They made it Rover to Wind.
Yeah, Land Wind. And so I looked this company up, and this company also has a Porsche 911, which is called Porsche. It has a similar name. It's a company that copies Western cars and starts marketing them in the market. I see it all the time. I see I know so many stories of people that went there. They went there. They trusted the people. They had partnerships. And
you got to tell us the Uber story.
Yeah. So Uber. So what happens in China? A lot of companies go to China with an American business model. And they are going to inflict it on the Chinese. And the Chinese are super nationalistic, right? So mm-hmm. they don't want that. So Google went in. Google was not successful. Uber went in. And they were there for about a year. And then legislation came about. They basically got kicked out. And then within 2 weeks, we had Didi, which is a Chinese ride-sharing company. By the way, Didi in China has more rides than Uber has worldwide. Already today.
So what's the economy? I mean, what is this tariff? What's going on with the tariffs and how are the Chinese reacting to it? What's going on with the economy, manufacturing? You know, I know we still have a very big gap between trade with the U.S. and China, about $400 billion mm-hmm. gap. So,
that's right.
You know, we've got the advantage on this. But what's your perspective of what Trump wants to introduce with tariffs and what have you seen happen?
Yeah, I mean, this is my – I have a very strong personal belief in this, right? So I think what's happening – I think this is the exact right time for us to do what we're doing. The tariffs are working, and the tariffs are working in the way that we want them working, but we don't see it in America, right? Mm-hmm. So what's happening in China on the ground, the tariffs get announced, the tariffs get introduced, and in our business, right, we have a $2 billion business. We have about 50% of or 40% of that business in China. From the moment it got introduced, we started seeing our business going down. And automotive, 10 years ago, they built 5 million cars. Mm-hmm. Last year, 30 million cars. For the first time ever, at the end of last year and going into this year, continuing still, car production in China is down 14%. Local production is down 14%. Consumer goods are down 10%. And for the first time, and you always have to take China stories with a grain of salt because you don't know, right? But for the first time, disposable income for average Chinese has actually been reduced, has come down in the last couple of months. So there's a huge effect in China on the psyche of the Chinese, on the spending habits of the Chinese, and it has a huge effect on the economy. And I think a personal opinion, not a company opinion, but my personal opinion is, I think it's the right time, and I think we're winning. I think we're winning this trade war. And if we would have waited 5 years, China may have been the biggest economy in the world. And I don't think we could have played the same game
in
5 years that we're playing today.
So you don't think Hillary Clinton would have had the same approach with President Xi? You don't have to answer that.
No, but I think what we are doing, though, is we're reversing years of treating China as a emerging economy. They have not been an emerging economy for years. And they, even my Chinese colleagues I speak to, they actually are not surprised that the U.S. has now taken this stand, right? Because they think it's actually long overdue. We have to start fighting tougher. And I think it's working. I think this is absolutely the right thing to do.
So you're starting to see, though, some other companies relocating from China to other countries, maybe even back to the U.S. Probably not as likely.
Yeah, Jeff, that's a super good point. We talked about this last night. So one is the psyche and the spending power of the spending urge in China is going down. So that reduces the economy. The second part is China has already become a pretty expensive place to do business, right? So we used to put factories in, no conveyor belt. We put 30 employees in because they were cheap. Wages have gone up. And so there was a trickle already of low-cost manufacturing going to Vietnam, Myanmar, Cambodia. That trickle has now turned into a major stream, including, by the way, Mexico. There's Chinese business from American companies, European companies, going back to Mexico, going to Vietnam. And so this is permanent, right? So this is also of great concern to the Chinese government because what they could control as a trickle is now just floodgates are opening and people getting out because they have to pay the duty to ship out of China.
Sure, and that's a big deal. I mean, it's not easy to just pick up and go a plant and then basically get a whole nother employment force to do what you're hoping they'll do.
For sure.
So that's got to be a concern to them. We're actually right now, it's a great opportunity for you to tune in here, folks. Roland Paulette, President and CEO of the engineering division. It's a plastics division at DSM. Got a great perspective on the whole China, U.S. trade, tariff, war, all that you hear about in the news. This is real life examples of things he's seeing. Where do you think things are going? I mean, what if Trump gets reelected versus what if he doesn't?
Yeah, my fear, my personal fear is, again, his personal opinion, my personal fear is he doesn't get reelected, right? And I think this is a game of someone that has a real belief on where we need to go. And it's not just him. And I'm sure he has great advisors as well, right? But a real strong belief as to where we have to go. And it would be a real shame if in 2 years we go a different direction. Because then China is going to see that as weakness, right? They have just appointed their leader for life.
Sure.
Right. So he can wait it out. And by frankly, the way that the mood in the country is going right now, more pro Trump. There's even in Chinese newspapers.
Sure.
For as much as you can. But even in Chinese newspapers, there's more written now about the fact that Trump might get reelected. And I think it's good. It's good because we can't give up now. It's we started this game and we can't. It would be a total shame if we stop this game now.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fundamentally unfair for so many years, and there's finally somebody with, as Lomas will say, the stones to actually stand up to that regime and actually do the right thing for the American people.
Yeah.
And we
did this when they were an emerging economy, poor, backwards economy.
Sure.
But we just never changed the deal.
No.
And they got bigger and stronger because of it and taking advantage of us.
Trade deficit was $120 billion last year. So 419 went to China. Only, imports from China were 540 and our exports were 419. $120 billion difference. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, you're talking about the intellectual property theft. I mean, like you said, Jeff, I mean, all that research and funding that goes into coming up with a service, a product, and within a year, it's taken. It's taken. So they're not playing fair. Here we are bringing companies maybe from China in for our consumers. We can't do the same thing. We can't do it.
Folks, if you have any questions or want to talk to a leading expert on actually living in China, what it's like, or what some of the economics are behind Trump's tariffs decisions, give us a call. *930 on a cell phone. You can text us at
303-0930. Yeah. And yeah, maybe we'll take a quick break here. I want to also just mention, if you want to go through a very, very unique homework process in our office, you might be considering retirement soon. Maybe you're not sure if it's possible. Old 401ks, we often get people come in and say, yeah, I used to work at this place about 8 years ago. My money is still there. I haven't really done anything with it. It's not being attended to, and you're not sure how to manage that fund, that account. Come in and see us. Social Security claiming, planning, college planning, Medicare planning, estate planning. We do a lot, and we do it with specialists, all right? We don't say, hey, I can do it all. Just come in and see me, and then I pretend that I can stay awake 24 hours a day and do everything really well. We don't have to do that. We do the things we do well, and we do those things all the time, and we collaborate. We truly collaborate. I want you to also know that we're expanding our reach. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at FinGuys, thefinancialguys.com, of course. But now you can actually find and listen to our podcast. Mike and Glenn are doing some just terribly humorous. they're actually really fun to listen to, but super informative. And I guess we have a YouTube channel. Did you know this, Jeff? A YouTube channel where you can listen or see us at any time you want.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it just keeps getting bigger and bigger every day.
You can basically get 24 hours.
You know, speaking of those, I had a client come in, first time I met them last week, and they had a bunch of old 401ks because they had changed jobs several times. And the one 401k, the company's out of business. And the problem is it's Fidelity holds the 401k.
Mm-hmm.
But the instructions of the plan were the company has to send notice of her termination before they'll release the funds.
Sure.
So they don't want to have people rolling over funds if they're still employed.
Sure.
The company's out of business and never released. So it's stuck. And they said, you know, I've tried to get this money and I can't.
What a nightmare.
But it just shows you, don't leave those behind.
No.
Just keep consolidating them into an IRA, wherever you manage that, but just don't leave all this excess baggage behind. It's like leaving your suitcase in the hotel.
Absolutely. And we have an independent wealth management division. So as Jeff and I are helping and seeing people all the time, doing financial planning and some of the key things that we do to help people, we have a whole team of investment professionals. I think it's 175 years of investment experience when you add it all up, and they're completely dedicated every minute of the day to make sure that the actual funds, whether it's stocks or mutual funds or ETFs, whatever the tools are, that those strategies are being looked at and optimized, basically. So when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more here with our special guest. And stay tuned, folks. Even though it's a nice Saturday, stay tuned here with us. We appreciate you every day, every Saturday, tuning in. Mike Hayflick, Jeff Boron here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
You're listening to The Financial Guys. To reach Glenn and Mike now, call 803-0930, toll free at 800-616-WBEN, and cell calls are free at *930. Live from the WBEN studios, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Mike Hayflick, Jeff Boron here in studio alongside me. We are just, I guess I said this earlier, we're just sort of the engineers taking over the 2 hours here on Saturday at the WBEN 930 train, right? We just step in.
That's right.
It's our turn. Again, don't forget, 3 o'clock, Esther Goulias, EG Tax, the tax lady.
Talk about tax planning.
Absolutely.
But anyways, so we're having a good time. We've got a special guest in studio, Roland Paulette, who is president and CEO of DSM, their plastics division, and actually lives right now in Singapore, but has lived in Shanghai. Actually lived all over the world. I mean, you're born in Holland, which is not East Aurora. It's the Amsterdam area.
Mm-hmm. Right?
What was the town you were born in?
I was born in a town called Utrecht, or Arnhem, actually. Arnhem, was okay. Which is a famous one with a bridge too far. It's one of the one times that the Germans were able to stop the troops coming in. But that's all I know about it. And I know I was born in the same hospital as Eddie Van Halen.
Ah, is that right?
He's Dutch as well.
That's great. Yeah. I knew that.
Really?
What brought, yeah, I remember. I probably from just some little blurb I remember reading. But what brought you to the U.S.?
So I came to Buffalo to go to school. Yeah. I went to University of Buffalo. My father said, you're going to go to school in the U.S. There's a great school in Buffalo, New York. It's better than Harvard. And so I ended up at, I experienced it as a fantastic school.
Yeah.
But I ended up at UB.
That's something.
Wow. Wow. And so then after Buffalo, and I met you way back in Buffalo, but where have you lived around the world for your job?
Yeah, I lived in the Netherlands for quite a few years. I lived in it's actually a different country, Evansville, Indiana, for a few years. And then I lived in China and for the longer part of my career, and then now Singapore.
Wow. Yeah. Very, very cool. We've got a regular caller, John in Rochester, wants to talk a little bit about a friend that had a plant in China and what happened to him. So, hey, John, welcome aboard.
Hey, Mike and Jeff and Roland, welcome to WBEN.
Yeah, thank you.
Number one, the leaders of China, I'm older than you guys. I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and that's when the Red Guard took over the country of China and committed atrocities and genocide. I think there's estimates of 80 million people might have been killed during that reign of communism from the 50s to the 70s. And what they did was the government turned their kids against their parents. If their parents said anything in the house demonizing communism, they would be executed or put in gulags in China. And the leaders of China right now are those kids. and that's the ironic part about it. It was front page news back in the 60s and early 70s in Newsweek and, that type of thing about the Red Guard and the brutality that went on. But yet it's almost forgotten, and it wasn't that long ago. But I know a guy who had a plant in China, and this is going back a number of years ago now, and he found out through some investigative accounting that the plant manager, general manager of the plant, who was a Chinese citizen, had embezzled it. I think the figure was $1 million to $2 million. I can't remember exactly. So he had all the evidence of this crime, presented it to the local government, province, whatever it was, and they basically laughed at him. It says, you don't expect us to go after a Chinese citizen, an American company pressing charges of a Chinese citizen? They laughed him basically out of the country.
Yeah, you're not our partner.
Have you seen things like this living over there, Roland?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this is I've seen it once, I've seen it 1,000 times. And so we really preach to people to come to China. Work on prevention, and because if the event occurs, to get your right in court is difficult. Right? It's mm-hmm. not impossible. It's very difficult. So John's example is dead on. We see it a lot, but there's a lot you can do to protect yourself. And so you have to be really on your guard. You have to operate your plants and your in a different way than you would do back at home.
Mm-hmm.
Now you were telling me last night a little bit about how you had to design your plant and some of the security for the workers coming in.
Sure.
To protect your intellectual property. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. So we built a lot of complexes. We spent probably close to $1 billion building chemical plants in China. And the way we would do it, we put the engineering in Singapore. And then when we build the plant, the construction crews, we would have no cell phones, we have no USB ports and any computers inside. And then we divide basically the plant into four sectors.
Mm-hmm.
And no one could ever work in more than two sectors. So we had people working in the plant, doing construction, working either in sector one or two or three and four. So no one actually ever saw the entire plant. And wow. And it's a fairly common practice. That.
So we've got an interesting question for you up on the board. What is the general feeling in China towards the U.S.? That's from Mike in West Seneca.
There's a fair amount of envy towards the U.S. in terms of the economy that we have. And to be honest, the people, the actions that are being taken today, I'd say 70% of the people I talk to think it's overdue. And we're super surprised that previous administrations never took the action that the Trump administration, because they thought it was actually necessary. They thought they were getting away with things, right? Not to that extent, right? Not, but getting away with things, and they were not surprised. But there's envy towards the United States. The little known fact is China is actually super capitalistic. It's just run by a central government. Mm-hmm. But if you live there, you would not feel you're in a communist country. Everybody's out to try to make money. So it's very similar, actually.
Mm-hmm. So and we were talking a little bit about healthcare, because obviously healthcare is the big concern in the U.S. now. It's getting so expensive. How is it done in China?
Yeah, so the average doctor in China makes $20,000 to $30,000 a year. And healthcare is mostly a public service. Interesting fact about China. China has a real interesting dilemma when it comes to healthcare. China actually controls all tobacco in China. So all the tobacco that's bought, all the cigarettes, a big smoker still, although it's starting to decline now. All the tobaccos and the cigarettes are made by the Chinese government, and they make revenue. And they're balancing that versus the healthcare cost that comes associated with with the cigarettes.
Yeah, we collect this much tax on the cigarettes, but now we have to pay for them to get cancer treatment.
But it's so something. Chinese. It's super pragmatic. Okay, well, we make more money here, so then, okay, so we continue on with that. Unreal. But the healthcare is okay-ish. It's provided by the. It's not the standard that we have for sure, right. But it's provided by the government.
And I know we're coming up on a hard break. Can you just real briefly talk about the unfair the rules? So U.S. has all sorts of rules about like what can be in products, like no lead, perhaps like paint, right? Mm-hmm. We're actually going to talk in a few moments. Stefan Mihailo will be one of our guests. So folks, if you're listening, stay tuned. But how much of a competitive advantage must there be for China and over the U.S.?
So it's interesting, right? So it's more of a matter of enforcement than it is actual rules. There's a lot of rules in China. There's a lot of rules.
Okay.
But they generally get enforced against the Western companies, right? So but it's more a matter of enforcement than that there is no rule. There is a lot of rules. There cannot be melamine in milk, right? In baby milk. That there is a rule that it can, but it can happen. Right, and so it's really a matter of enforcement, and China is clamping down on that because they know that hurts their business, right? Yeah. But it's enforcement. It's enforcement. Things happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of rules.
Sounds a little bit like the U.S. Lots of rules, laws in place, but a lot of these sanctuary cities say, "Oh no, we're not going to abide by those."
A rule you can't cross over illegally.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, I know if you're in South Florida, you may be dropping off. If you want to tune in and listen to us online, you can go ahead and do that. If you need us down there in the South Florida area, 561-641-5050. Mike Hayflick, Jeff Boron with the Financial Guys. You can reach us throughout the week, 633-1515. Stay tuned, folks. We have one more full hour ahead here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
It's time to talk money.
But of course, the media is not covering any of that. If you didn't know that from like Fox News or something else, you would never know at all.
Bernie Sanders owns 3 homes and he drives around in an Audi and tells everybody else he's going to save the environment. You should drive little stupid roller skate looking cars.
It's the Financial Guys radio program with local financial experts Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas, member FINRA SIPC.
It takes a stupid person to run in that party, but it takes a dumber person to vote for him.
That, my friends, is Democrat privilege.
Now, here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Welcome back. Mike Hayflick and Jeff Boron here, filling in for Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle. We are the Financial Guys in our second hour. They always go by so, so fast. I had a couple items I wanted to mention. I have an event coming up with my partner, Ron Reinstein. We help people with Social Security claiming strategies. And you might say, what the heck do you mean, Mike? Well, what I mean is, instead of just thinking that you've sort of have an obligation at age 62 to claim your Social Security benefit, don't consider it an obligation. Think of it as like an invitation that you can decline. You do not have to claim your benefit at 62, although many, many do. What Ron and I try to do is help you understand that you have to meet your income needs in retirement. We know that a lot of advisors out there, they try to get you up to retirement, and then they cross their fingers and maybe say a prayer that you make it through retirement. We don't do that. We try to come up with really good quantitative evidence that your retirement actually will happen the way you want it to. So this Wednesday, July 30th, 6:15 p.m., Social Security Claiming Strategies Optimization. You can get online. You can go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, to register. You can also call our office right now, 633-1515, to register. We still have some spots available. Very few, but some. So go ahead and do that. And Jeff, talk about this scholarship that there's a deadline for.
So I run a not-for-profit organization called Send Your Kids to College. Couldn't be simpler than that. And every year we do a scholarship. This year it is three $1,000 scholarships awarded only to Western New York high school students. So it's not going out nationally. It's got a limited market because we want to give back to Western New York, who's been very good to us. And applications are due July 31st, a couple days from now. So if you've got a son or daughter, or let's say you know that your grandson or granddaughter is sitting home, they're in high school, get them up off the couch, get them out of bed, get them off their cell phone, get them off Xbox or whatever they're doing,
mm-hmm.
and they have to write a short essay. But they can apply online. They don't have to write anymore. They can just type on sendyourkidstocollege.com. The application will pop right up. They can fill it in right online and submit. But don't forget, we will not accept them after July 31st.
Awesome. So my seminar with Ron Reinstein, Tuesday, July 30th, 6:15. The scholarship Jeff just explained, it's due Wednesday, July 31st. Just check out our websites if you have any other questions about that. You could call our office, 633-1515, for more information. Also want to encourage people to go see our podcasts. They're now shown on a YouTube channel, our YouTube channel. Glenn made like a crazy prediction that came true on this last week's podcast. I don't even want to say, and I said to Rochelle, I didn't get a chance to listen. And she told me, and I thought, oh my gosh, this is Glenn's a bright guy, right? But I'm thinking, is he a fortune teller now?
You know, if you think about it, so Roland, Glenn made a prediction. We were talking about last night. Jeffrey Epstein is going to commit suicide. You know, if I'm Jeffrey Epstein, I better hope that I've got eyes in the back of my head. I wouldn't turn my back to anybody,
right?
You know, because think about the important people that he's probably got a lot of really bad dirt on.
Yep,
and those people have money. And they can, go to a prisoner in Jeffrey Epstein's prison and say, hey, you know, we'll take care of your family for the rest of their lives if you take care of Jeffrey Epstein for us.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, could you imagine being that guy?
Talk about the target on his back. It's bigger than anyone else's. The other thing, too, some of our team were able to go to the Buffalo Bills Alumni Gala last night. I guess they had a great time. So we're very involved, obviously, in the community here. And we're a very big, you know, kind of a growing firm in many, many ways. If you need us throughout the week, 633-1515. So we're going to wrap up our segment here with Roland.
So Roland, you know, we were talking a little bit about government in China. You know, we know the leader's got a lifetime appointment, but, you know, there's various cities and they're tiered. How does that all work? And how are the politicians elected?
Yeah, so there's that's kind of a running joke with my when are the next elections, because there aren't any. So the way it works is a politician in China, you start out at a small province, or you start out they have tiers of cities, right? Tier one is Shanghai, Beijing, and then you have tier two, tier three, tier five. You know, tier five is still a million people, right? So Shanghai, order of magnitude, 22 million people, 24 million people live there. And as a politician, you work your way up the system by your ability to attract investment and to produce tax revenue, right? So so it's a very corporate kind of method.
Mm-hmm. It's run like mm-hmm. a business, can you imagine?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember they said you can't elect Donald Trump. A businessman has no place as president. And there, their whole country runs like a business. You do well, you collect a lot of tax revenue, you bring in business, we're going to promote you.
Might be why they fear Donald Trump, right? Or at least respect him as a businessman and our president.
Yeah. For sure.
So you've also got a lot of background on Europe and, you know, some countries where they're a little more socialized, and taxation, healthcare, some of the things that we're struggling with in the U.S. What's a perspective coming over, you know, working for a Dutch company about socialized medicine and paying higher taxes and having the government more involved with your life, I guess.
Everyday life, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a reason why when I went to UB, I chose not to go back. it's a different system, right? So there's a lot of people that are being taken care of. And there's an inherent feeling, I think, in the U.S., and I think it's a very healthy feeling, you take care of yourself. And we move away from that, I think, a little bit, but that's a really inherent thing. I explain it to the people in Europe. It says, what's the big difference? In the U.S., you got to pull yourself up. You got to take care of yourself. In Europe, it's different. So there's many countries where there's the social medicine, there's social services, there's people that haven't worked for years, right? Because they have a backache or they have, and so it's a softer, in my opinion, a softer society, a society that's been taken care of. Mm-hmm. Taxes are very high, right? Taxes are extremely high in Europe.
So what are some of the tax rates, that someone having a good living would pay in Europe?
So, you know, France, Netherlands, and, you know, you're in a 55 to 60% tax rate. So 60 cents of everything that you make goes back into the system. And rightfully so, people in France are moving out, right? People mm-hmm. in some of this, kind of what we see a little bit in New York State or in some of the high tax states, right? People are moving out. So the person that owns the biggest luxury brand in France, he now lives in Belgium because he likes the country better in Belgium. It also happens to have 20% lower taxes.
Okay.
But it's high tax, right? Mm-hmm. It's a very high tax. Now, and people are used to it. You do get a lot in return. So you pay $1,500 to send your kid to college. Property taxes are lower, but there is a lot of money being taken away at one point, given back at another point, without the people really having incentive to get themselves into a better situation.
So it really is like, it seems like a leveling effect. Like the high achievers, they have less and less of an incentive to achieve higher.
Right.
I mean,
you gotta give up more of your money to support somebody who is
right. Someone who's maybe not as motivated, maybe not doesn't have the intellect.
Yeah,
but
I think you're still motivated to achieve, right? But you just at the higher levels you make less for sure.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And lastly, taxes in China. How does that all work?
35%. No, 35% corporate income tax. So corporate income taxes, for instance, are lower in China than they are in the U.S., right? So that's something that I think also the Trump administration did a very, very good job of addressing, because a lot of big global corporations, they have a choice to where they go, right?
Sure.
So they can take an operation, they can put it in China, they can put it in South Carolina, they can put it – and if you're not competitive on a tax rate, people are going to make a decision that you're not going to like. So I think it was a very good decision by the administration to lower that tax rate, also for the money coming back. But in China, the income taxes in China are relatively low. Corporate income taxes are relatively low. But you have to know how to operate within the system.
As we heard earlier, yeah.
All right.
Gosh, we can't thank you enough. This has been amazing.
Yeah,
hopefully you won't
be
a stranger to our show. Maybe in the future you can come on back on with us.
He doesn't get to the U.S. too much. When he does, we'll try to nab him on the show.
Really?
Roland Paulette, our special guest here, friend of Jeff, but also, boy, what a world traveler. He's been in many different places, has had such a great, unique perspective on China. And the things we're trying to do and what our president is trying to, help us to win. And it's a very difficult task, and he doesn't get much help. So, again, thank you, Roland, for being here today. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, you're going to hear from our county controller, Stefan Mihailu. And I want to thank Stefan for holding. And Stefan, as soon as we get back out of this break, we're coming on with you. Folks, you want to stay tuned and hear this. You do not want to miss what Stefan has to say here. You can reach us at 803-0930, *930 on the cell, 1-800-616-9236. If you need us throughout the week, you can reach us at 633-1515. We do a lot, and we do a lot to help people in very unique ways, and we're so happy to do that. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Financial Guys here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All righty, welcome back. Is this one of your choices?
You know, I had to throw a couple of variety pieces in there.
I love it.
You know, you're sitting there with your sunglasses, bobbing your head.
I know. I wanted to just kind of hang it up for the day, but we have one hour, not even 30, 40 minutes left here.
We got about 2 hours of material to squeeze in.
Oh, a lot more to do. And
we're joined by another special guest via phone, Stefan Mihailu, our county controller. and he's got some good information to share.
Oh, yeah, so. Stefan, thanks for waiting and holding. We really appreciate it, and I do appreciate it. I want to do first say congratulations on your new child. Can you share just a little bit about how your new baby son is doing and your wife?
Oh, he's phenomenal. Ashley, my wife, is great. New baby boy, phenomenal care at Citrus Hospital. I did ask for a receipt just in case if there's like a 60-day warranty or anything.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm so glad for you.
Stefan, come on and see me so we can start our college planning now.
Ah, there we go. There we go. Little plug for the college planning division. Now, so you I know you're kind of, you know, continuing to be a watchdog for all of Erie County citizens. And do you mind if I just play a couple of recent Twitter videos that you did, and then I'll have you comment? Let me just do this here.
Yeah, that works.
Okay.
10 years ago, there were lifeguards on this beach. It was actually busy. Families were able to come here, lay out, enjoy the water. Obviously, no one has groomed the beach itself. A family can't come here anymore. Look what they're greeted with. Logs and trees, lots of rocks all over the beach, garbage, this stairwell, and even a railroad tie. Taxpayers deserve a lot better than this dump of a county park.
Yeah, and that was actually Went Beach, and it was not in exactly the type of shape you'd want to bring your family to. Just here's one more.
8 years ago, Mark Poloncarz talked about the conditions of picnic tables at county parks.
Picnic tables, not in great shape. Nails sticking up out of the picnic table.
The wood is actually rotted out on this picnic table at Como Lake Park. 8 years later, things really haven't changed as far as the conditions of picnic tables are concerned at county parks. There's actually staples hanging out of this picnic table at Como Lake Park in Lancaster. And 8 years ago, Mark Poloncarz talked about the fact that he would not want families eating off picnic tables where paint is peeling and paint is chipping.
This one, I don't think you'd want to put your food on it because you've got paint peeling all over the place.
So, Stefan, you actually did another post race recently, and you tested for lead on a swing set. What's going on?
This all started as an accounting report. We found that the Poloncarz administration had borrowed about $13 million for parks repairs over the past 3 years, a three-year period. But they spent only $7 million of that, 53% of it. Unspent, according to our SAP computer system records, was about $6 million. So that's racking up on the unspent money, $350,000. You guys would never tell your clients, why don't you take out a massive loan to fix your roof, get the money, pay interest, and then don't make the repair.
No.
Not a good fiscal responsibility.
Not fixing the problem, are we?
Jeez. So we took that and said, okay, 8 years ago, Mark Poloncarz went around with a video camera and he videotaped conditions of county parks. And we thought, okay, if he's not making repairs, let's see and do the same exact thing he did 8 years ago. And some of the conditions were appalling. Broken glass, missing toilets and bathrooms, just terrible neglect. And then my then-pregnant wife, Ashley, I called her when I was in the middle of Chestnut Ridge, and she goes, you know what? We didn't want to put our baby boy Maxim on, she didn't, on one of the slides because there was a lot of peeling paint on it, and it was old. And right then and there we thought, well, if it's old peeling paint, we wonder if there's lead.
Sure.
So we went and got home test kits for lead, and it tested positive at the five county parks that we did. So we went a step further and actually conducted, we used a razor blade, baggies. I mean, it was a very professional testing that was done, sent them to a lab. And in five of the county parks that we actually tested lead paint on, that it was not only positive on every single of the 12 samples, but on 11 of the 12, it was extremely high dangerous levels of lead. At one county park alone, it was basically 36 times the level of lead that HUD had said is dangerous for kids.
That's unbelievable. I mean, I've had two daughters. Jeff, I know you've had two daughters. Kids will do the dumbest things. Some adults do, but kids will do dumb things, and they just don't know any better. So here he identifies a problem. He becomes the guy who can fix the problem and doesn't.
Right. And he borrows money to fix the problem
and doesn't
spend it.
And doesn't.
Well, and these are not my words. This is a quote directly from Dr. Gail Burstein, who is Mark Poloncarz's Erie County Health Commissioner. Actually, and she made these comments about lead paint on WBEN in March of this year, quote, "There is no safe level of lead for children. Even a very small amount of lead through household dust or peeling paint can cause serious and lifelong damage to a child's health." Mm-hmm. Now, that's Mark Poloncarz's health commissioner, and we found elevated levels of lead on playground equipment, slides, and some of the swings were baby swings, toddler swings, where this clearly exposed peeling paint is out there for any kid to be around. And as a father, that's scary. I will not, under any circumstances, let my child play on any swing set or slide or playground equipment at a county park.
I don't blame
it. Hey, Stefan, so we borrow money to fix up the parks. We don't use it. Is that money going to slide into some other fund or going to be, you know, hopefully at least we could fix some roads with it. But what's happening with that unspent money? Is it being earmarked for something else? We're just not going to fix the parks?
Here's what's scary. Mark Poloncarz is claiming, well, wait a minute. No, we actually did designate some of that money for repairs, but we're keeping a second set of books that's not indicative of what's in the county computer system.
Oh, yeah.
Two things on that. Number one.
Full transparency.
Yeah, people that own businesses go to jail for that.
Yeah, I know.
That's absolutely correct. Well, see, what's scary about that is if it's true, then the fiscal mismanagement of the Poloncarz administration is even worse than we thought. Because the way our SAP system works, we cannot, it is physically impossible to cut a check unless certain check marks are basically checked in the SAP system. So if he's claiming there's an illegal second set of books, then not only is it impossible, but that means county contractors and vendors have been doing work for years and have never gotten paid. Because I cannot cut a check unless it appears in our SAP computer system. I mean, the consequences of an illegal second set of books, it could be even that Wall Street would suspend Erie County's bond rating.
Sure.
Would jeopardize borrowing. So if that's the case and he's telling the truth, then the fiscal mismanagement is even worse.
Was there a time frame for which this money was supposed to be spent and it just wasn't?
Well, when you borrow year to year, you're supposed to spend it when you borrow.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, it seems like he's just carrying it forward and... And like Jeff said, maybe it's just going to get earmarked for something else. I mean, that's brutal. And here we are, the Erie County citizens who are expecting these things to be improved. We're all very proud of this area and so many of the things that it brings. But when you see just those couple of videos that you posted, I mean, it is really disgusting.
We're doing a lot more. It's National Parks Month, and so every day we're going to debut a different video the same exact way that Mark Poloncarz did 8 years ago. Some of the issues that he complained about, you know, picnic benches. We found a picnic bench at Chestnut Ridge Park that had a horrific racial slur on it that was carved into the table and had very bright yellow paint on it in one of our future videos. And we went back about 2 weeks later, and all the county did was paint over it with a different color, and it was still there on the picnic table.
So you still see it. So there's some very obvious issues when you just walk on the beach or in a park. But then, like you said, there's some very hidden, dangerous, like life-threatening type issues that he's just sort of, I guess, turning a blind eye to.
Hey, Stefan, where can our listeners see some of these videos that you're producing?
Yeah, on all of our social media pages, if you go to the Google machine and just put in Stefan Mihailov, if you have trouble spelling it, smash your keyboard, whatever comes in.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you gave me $1,000 to spell it, I think I wouldn't win.
Yeah, but it's our Facebook, our Twitter, and our Instagram pages. All of our videos and all the information about the very dangerous levels of lead paint that were found on playground equipment across county parks. That's on our website, too.
So if some of our listeners, parents out there of young kids, want to get involved, want to support, you know, getting this corrected, what should they do?
Well, they can contact the county executive directly. They can, again, use the social media or Google and find the contact information for Mark Poloncarz and contact his office directly. We told him that he should shut down every single piece of playground equipment immediately and test for lead. And Mark Poloncarz's health commissioner confirmed as of, I believe it was Wednesday morning, that they already had 22 confirmed cases of lead in paint at Chestnut Ridge alone on playground.
Unreal. Wow. Stefan, thanks for joining us. We're on board. Folks, stay tuned here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
So you think you can tell heaven from hell, blue skies from pain.
All righty, welcome back. This is the Financial Guys Radio Show. Saturdays, 1 to 3 every week.
Beautiful Mike, Saturday out there.
Another one.
In here, another. You know, like I said, Mike and Glenn get the best days, the best Saturdays to enjoy.
They've got it down to a science, I think.
Because I think they have the long-range weather report, but couldn't pick a better day. I hope you guys are having a really nice day out there and get to enjoy some of this weather.
Yeah, it's been fun to be here today. You know, Roland Paulette, earlier guest on the show, talking about his real-life experiences overseas in China, in Singapore, living in actually growing up or being born in the Netherlands and then coming over here to Buffalo. As a UB student,
pretty eye opening about the
unbelievable
Chinese, and I got to say, we as Westerners, we're very trusting, and it just kind of shows you business isn't done that way all over the country.
No,
you can really get screwed.
I love the point he made, like oh no, don't be fooled. There are lots of rules and regulations. It's just the enforcement. How much do we see that in here in the United States now? It's one of the big things that
we have the laws. We have immigration laws.
Laws are on the books. But they just don't get followed. They don't get enforced. How about the little dousing with water of these cops of late?
Oh, that was sickening.
I was in disbelief. I'm watching going, wait. Is this
the cops were really, I don't know what they could do, because if they would have went after and arrested them, there would have been, it was racially motivated.
Sure.
They were harming and they hurt these people for simply throwing a little water. You can just see the headlines now,
from
the liberals. It's like, so what do you do?
Well, that's how it begins, right? Well, I right away thought, what if these guys get called to a true crime, a true dangerous situation, and they're all drenched in water? What if some of the stuff they've got on them isn't going to work?
Well, the other thing, too, is...
It's just incredible.
So if you're a police officer, how do you know that one of these guys isn't coming through with a bucket of acid?
I know.
You know?
It was insane to see that. I hope that doesn't become the trend, but look at it. It's already happening now.
Yeah.
So Mike Hayflick, Jeff Boron filling in here for Mike Lomas, Glenn Wiggle, the Financial Guys. And we've had just some great guests. Stefan Mihailu, again, calling out the hypocrisy as he sees it, highlighting that hypocrisy. Go ahead and check out some of his Twitter videos online. I've just played a couple of the many out there. In our office, we have so many specialists. I like to focus on Social Security claiming strategies with Ron Reinstein. We have an event coming up this week. And then I also want, Jeff, just remind our listeners one more time about that scholarship.
Right. So Send Your Kids to College is a not-for-profit planning organization that I founded several years ago. I've been doing college planning since 2003, but we are a not-for-profit. SendYourKidsToCollege.com is our website. We have a scholarship. The deadline is July 31st in a couple days. So if you've got a son or daughter in high school in Western New York, they are eligible to apply. They could receive one of three $1,000 scholarships. They can go and apply online. They don't even have to print anything out or use a pen because they don't like to anymore. They can use their keyboard.
There
but
you go.
Download through sendyourkidstocollege.com, and the application's right there, and they can just type it in with a fillable PDF and email it right from there. So a good way to spend a Saturday or Sunday, but don't forget, it's got to be in by July 31st.
Absolutely, and I have a TFG Academy, so right at our own offices at 305 Spindrift Drive with my partner, Ron Reinstein. We are doing a TFG Academy Social Security Optimization Seminar Tuesday, July 30th. So one day earlier, July 30th, 6:15 p.m., you can go to thefinancialguys.com/academy to register, or call 716-633-1515 to register. We are filling up, so love to see you there. And so we actually have, I've got some synergy with the next guest that we're going to bring on, Brian Faraci. Brian's sort of coordinating now our TFG insurance arm. And it has really become quite a thing. I'm so proud of our group, because here I might see someone on the idea of Social Security claiming. They might only be 62. They might want to retire. They need health insurance, perhaps, but they're not quite Medicare age. Our group can take care of people before Medicare kicks in at age 65, but also at age 65 and many, many years thereafter by helping them choose the correct supplemental plans that then support the Medicare plan that they had to enroll in. So I'm going to bring on board here Brian Faraci. Brian, you're with Jeff and I, and thank you for holding. And how are you, pal?
Good. Thanks for having me on, guys. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. No problem. I know you had some workshops coming up. We got another location. And you were going to just talk a little bit, too, I think, about the Medicare process. I mean, I always joke, and I used to say, you know, until I could really make it into certain bars and maybe have a drink, maybe I snuck in one or two here over those years. But you never really know where all the bars are until you're of age. Same thing with anything. Like, until it's really your time, you don't really make a commitment to it. So when people do start reaching that age of 63, 64, and then, of course, 65, I always say to people, don't be ashamed that you don't know what to do. It's just natural. We, you know, it's when you get to that moment in time, that's when you become the expert or find an expert. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with TFG Insurance.
Well, I just wanted to update everyone on some upcoming Medicare 101 workshops that we're hosting.
Mm-hmm.
And leading up to the annual enrollment in October, which is just a few short months away. But some of our seminars are going to be at some local libraries across Western New York, the Amherst Senior Center,
mm-hmm.
and as well as a few different AAA locations, all the way from Amherst all the way to Rochester.
Awesome. So tell us about this little partnership where you're going to be out and about. I mean, we have a great facility at what we call TFG Academy right at our 305 Spindrift. But how did you guys secure some other satellite locations now to do this? This is great.
Well, we'll still be hosting the Medicare Mondays on a weekly basis starting in September,
mm-hmm.
At TFG, and as well as, you know, during the week we'll be at AAA in Penfield in Rochester.
All right.
Which we have Phil Provisano is going to be leading out that way.
Mm-hmm.
We have a new location right there on Gravel Road in Webster, so it's convenient for the Rochester listeners as well.
That's awesome, and I know we reached that far because I've gone out to Penfield. I know, as Jeff has, to my Social Security claiming seminars, even as far as Liverpool, actually up and down that New York State Thruway. But that's fabulous. So can you just really briefly tell us, like, what is the mindset of people who come in and see you? And I kind of know this because I have clients who've come to see you guys. But what's the mindset when people come down and, you know, into our office and sit down with you? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Is it, I don't know, just downright ignorance to the whole process of getting on Medicare and then choosing supplemental plans?
It's a little bit of everything, Mike. And there are so many variables when it comes to your employer plan, if you're retirement, are you taking your Social Security benefits?
Mm-hmm.
So we like to start the process roughly about 9 months before you turn 65.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gives us time to meet with you, gather all the necessary information, and then do all the homework for you so you can sit back and continue working or look forward to your retirement. And we take over the whole process, as you guys do on the financial side of things.
And Brian, do you work with one, two, how many provide? So how much choice, or mm-hmm. tell me about what the process is, someone who just turned 65 and they're coming in to see you and they don't know what to do. What are you doing with them?
Well, there's over 40 different options to choose from, whether it be a standalone prescription plan, a supplement plan, or a Medicare Advantage plan. So with that being said, we have to shop around, and that's why, again, we like to meet roughly about 9 months in advance. So we have the time to do the homework to make sure we're putting you in the right plan. And if it is necessary to sign up for Medicare, or if it's more beneficial or cost effective to stay on your employer plan.
So those early planners, like I always joke, my wife is a very early planner. Like if she needs Medicare at 65, she'll probably be at one of the workshops when she's like 62 and saying, hey, I know you said 9 months, Brian, but can we meet now?
Brian,
and I love her for that because she's a great planner. But even if it is like, hey, last minute, can you guys help people that are kind of last minute?
Yeah, I'm working with a few clients right now that came in last minute. They've been waiting on their Part A card.
Mm-hmm.
Not just thinking that it was automatically going to be sent because they talked to their neighbor and thought that was the case. And as we know, everyone's situation is different. So we had to get them enrolled in Part A, and we helped them through the process of doing that. So it's never too early, and you want to talk to one of our AHIP certified specialists here.
Yeah, and that's so important. AHIP certified. I mean, you might talk to some folks that think, you know, I like this. I'm interested in this topic. I think I used this word earlier. You guys are committed to helping people, and you're AHIP certified to help people. And I know firsthand, folks, this team does an unbelievable job. They're independent, which means they don't care what plan you end up in. What they care about is that you end up in the right plan for you. There's no connections to any other, any insurance companies where there's sort of incentives to use certain companies. They are not paid out of pocket when you come in. I mean, you can't beat this. Honestly, it's independent. There's no out of pocket cost. Let them do the legwork. Let them survey the entire landscape for you, and you will hopefully walk out of our offices, as we say, with the highest probabilities of success. In that being in the health insurance or the Medicare area. So great, awesome. And we can't thank you enough, Brian, for what you do at our office, for all the clients, people out there in Western New York, and now even a little bit further east out in the Rochester, that Penfield Webster area. So thanks for joining us today, Brian.
Real quick, Mike, I just want
you got it. Sure.
We're growing so fast that we have our own webpage.
Ah, yeah.
WNYMedicareMadeEasy.com. And we had to create our own Facebook page because we're growing at a rapid pace.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
I love it.
Agency on Facebook.
Terrific. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
You got it, buddy. All right. So WNY, MedicareMadeEasy.com. That's awesome. That's like that's like your sendyourkidstocollege.com. I mean, it doesn't get any easier.
Right. Well, try. You could just figure out if the URL is available. That was
yes.
Probably pretty lucky for
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, so Medicare season comes up in, what, October,
yeah,
I think,
yeah, I'm
right?
thinking that's... first or second week, and then it runs about all the way through, I think, December 7th-ish.
Yeah.
And that's that open enrollment period. But, I mean, every day people are either turning, like you handle kids turning 17, maybe just about to head into senior year, maybe junior year.
Hopefully junior year.
That's again. The earlier planners are probably the more successful.
By far.
What's the one stat, Jeff? I just comes to me now. The stat where kids go to college for their freshman year. What's the stat for them to actually transfer out after the first year?
It is over 50%.
It used to be a third.
Yeah.
So it's now over 50%.
It's over 50%. And unfortunately, here's the story I see every day. They went to this school because they'd fallen in love with it. And then after the first year, they're starting to realize that financially, they're going to graduate with a mountain of debt,
mm-hmm.
and then they end up changing schools. And every time you change majors, change colleges, you're going to incur more time and more money. And I always tell parents the most expensive year of college
mm-hmm.
is that fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
And, in public schools, state schools, we have about a 33% graduation rate in 4 years, which means 67% of the students don't get out in 4 years. We're all planning for 4 years.
It's unbelievable.
And you've got a 33% chance you're going to make. If you go to a private school, maybe it's a little more money,
mm-hmm.
you've got roughly a 50-50 chance to be out in 4 years.
Right.
And parents say, why is that? It's because we didn't do the planning up front, helping them with career majors, college mm-hmm. selection. The college has to be that right social fit, academic fit, financial fit especially.
Sure, sure.
And I have a lot of students, parents coming to me now with, hey, I've got these 12 student loans. I'm out of school. I'm making X, and my loans add up to 50% of X. What should I do?
Wow.
And I can't say it, but I really want to say, go back, get a time machine, and mm-hmm. go back 6 years, and let's do this right.
Let's go back and do it right. And you can't. So, and it's not even a knock against the parents or the students and their intellect or the care and the love they have for each other. It's just that they're not finding the right partner in guiding them. And what I would say is Jeff Boron is the partner you want to find before you actually embark on the journey. So, we partner with AAA. Yeah. You don't want to like take 13 hours and head in the wrong direction as you go on your vacation and then say, oh, son of a gun, I should have gone and, you know, I should have went and talked to someone at AAA about the construction and the different barriers and the obstacles.
This is the time of year where a lot of parents are packing up the kids, driving aimlessly to go look at colleges.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to do it. They're going on a pre-planned tour, which is like a show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all just part of their marketing effort. But they're looking at schools which don't make sense.
Right.
And, you know, before you go there, because you might fall in love with one of those schools that doesn't make sense.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden you've got heartbreak in the household. Before you pack up, go driving out and, walk around schools aimlessly. First of all, find out how to do a college visit properly.
Sure.
Second, most importantly, find out if you're at the college that you should be looking at.
Right. And so, again, the social, academic, financial fit. I know for my daughter, it also became an athletic fit. She wants to play softball, and she's going to play up at Oswego. But, you got to put all those pieces together before you embark on that journey. So, again, if you need Jeff Boron throughout the week, 633-1515. Again, besides hearing us every Saturday here on WBEN, you can like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at FinGuys, thefinancialguys.com. And don't forget to tune into our podcast, YouTube channel. We're everywhere now, and it's pretty cool. You can listen or see us in many times a week, anytime, anywhere you want, I guess. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk to one of our investment professionals, one of our all-cap growth portfolio managers, Dave Mariocker. He's going to give us a little update on what's going on in the economy, where he sees the markets going. And then I think we're going to just wrap up with kind of like, what should you be doing with your own retirement planning? What are some of the things we find has been successful for people we work with? Mike Hayflick here with Jeff Boron. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Financial Guys here on News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, welcome back, Mike Hayflick. Jeff Boron, reading the text board here, Jeff.
Yeah, I didn't get that one, did you?
No, so let's see. You guys, you say you are conservative, but yet you allow and agree with this guy who wants Erie County Parks to be shut down because of lead paint. Oh, okay, so I guess we're we're idiots for saying, you know what, some of that stuff should actually be fixed.
Yeah.
How about we keep the parks open, but at least rope it off and say, you know, there's poisonous lead paint on some of these things for kids? What an idiot.
I never get them.
What an idiot. I don't get it, but whatever. Yeah. Yeah. We're actually just decent human beings that wish that none of the people that live in this area do die from lead overdoses.
Or that we spend the money that we borrow to fix the parks. Yeah. To actually fix the parks.
Yeah. So sorry, we're just not in favor of poor use of Erie County's money and the misappropriation for either nothing or something in the future that we weren't told about. But we also would like some of the lead paint off of the man. I'm telling you. Now I'm even mad that I even read the stupid thing. This guy's listening, saying, "Hey, I was on the radio. Yeah, you read a text." So anyway, we're gonna wrap up. We're gonna talk a little bit about the markets. Markets have been still pretty good. I want to pull Dave Mariocker. Dave, you are on the live line here with Jeff and I. And thanks again for calling in.
Oh, thank you for having me, Mike. Hi, Jeff, and hi to all our listeners.
Awesome. Yeah, so what's going on out there? I mean, things have been still pretty good. And, I mean, I think I used the phrase earlier. It's been kind of a tug of war. Anytime I hear something that seems pretty good, there's always the, well, yeah, but don't forget this whole China trade thing that we had our special guest on earlier talking about. Those things are still looming. Of course, the liberal left is still out there trying to impeach our president. So what do you think about that tug of war, and where do you think things are heading, pal?
I think that you could probably say that somewhat for maybe the last decade. And after, 25 years, almost 25 years coming up, all I do is really watch the stock market, anything that has anything to do with it. And really, all I really do is manage between 18 and 50 stocks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm laser focused on it. I don't run out and try to get new clients. I just lock myself in a room watching the market. And when you go back 10 years and you look at, Mike, you could probably say somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm.
When Trump, and everybody knows I predicted Trump's victory. I predicted the Dow to go to 30,000 if he gets a second term. And I did that as soon as he said that he was going to run. And I'm going to say the same generally the same thing. And the three E's, the earnings, the economy, and the emotions. Emotions are running steady and solid.
Mm-hmm.
Earnings are decent. Some are high, some are midstream. But when you look at mega cap companies like Microsoft, Procter & Gamble, these things are making all-time highs. The three G's in the market, which would be somewhat the like a polar opposite, General Motors, General Electric, I don't know what they're doing. They're doing the same thing they've been doing for quite some time. The General Mills is breaking out. It makes a really good dividend payment. But when you go back and say 5 years, what I've been talking about, what I call not a lagging indicator company, but mid, and in cycles. And cycles could go in a month. The cycles could go in years. It's mm-hmm. Blackstone Group. And it's one of the reasons why people hire a person like me to manage money. We started to buy. Well, I noticed it when it came out public in 07. And this is one of the interconnected, most well-respected investment companies that there is today, Blackstone Group. And
mm-hmm.
when you look at the Blackstone Group, it is at almost an all-time high. They broke out of their limited partnership and announced that they would go to a General C corporation. But I started buying it in the mid-20s or lower customers, and it's paid a very handsome dividend between 4% and 8%, depending on what tax bracket you're in. It's a limited partnership. But now it's changing from a limited capital corporation, C-Corp.
Mm-hmm.
Then look at a company which I talk about every 6 or 8 months is Credit Acceptance Corporation. It's CACC. Now, this is something in full credit or full disclosure. I have never bought the Credit Acceptance Corporation, but mm-hmm. look at it. And this is an indication of what I think is the rural, hard-working America all over the country, because this company lends money to buy cars. Look at it. It's at almost an all-time high.
Hmm.
So, Mike, and what Jeff had said, the market is on solid footing, and I'm always cautious because in the last 10 years, previous to that, we had two market crashes. One, we had a market crunch in 99, then we got killed in 01, then it crashed between 6,800 and 6,600 in 09. And so now we've had a pretty good run. So I would say you guys, your commentary and what I was saying is the market's on steady cruise.
Yeah. You know what's interesting is when you or any of our investment team, Paul Meeks, John Thurr, all of you guys, you talk and you talk about data and not so much just numbers or percentages, but trends. And you always mention, you've been doing this for a long time. And it takes someone like you, though, to really get a good kind of conceptual and contextual sort of feel for this, doesn't it? I mean, it's not just look at a number and you know what to do, right?
No, that's right. And, Mike, I'm not kidding. I stay and watch the stock market and stocks and different screens every day. But sometimes you see accumulation trends in companies.
Mm-hmm.
You could say a Microsoft, for example. It's a great big company, but when you look at the accumulation distribution trend of it, about a year ago, it was very positive. And so one of the things you really want to do is get in, to a stock like that or any stock before the majority of the shareholders, like big institutions,
mm-hmm.
are some that you don't really talk about. And I try to follow that really so tightly. Sometimes it's difficult, but you see those trends, happening.
That's something.
So, Dave, general impression of the U.S. market, the international market, you think we've got some legs still for the U.S. market, earnings? What are you thinking about earnings right now and how they're, we're right in the midst of earnings release season. So what are you seeing? What are you thinking? And does this market still have some legs?
I do. I think just what I said, if Trump can get in for a second term or going past 30,000, I also think that the overall market in the overseas areas has been lagging. So interest rates are low. I think I'm in that low single digit for the end of the year. So I guess I'm going to be bullish for this year. It looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Awesome.
And internationally, we're seeing global growth, starting to slow down, especially internationally. Does that concern you at all?
It's been concerning me for 10 years. It hasn't been. I've been talking about the overseas markets for years. They're just not good. So But if you can get that all together, hey, maybe it can be really good.
Great. Man, we can't thank you enough, Dave, for chiming in. Obviously, part of our Independent Solutions Wealth Management team, our all-cap growth portfolio manager. Thanks again, Dave. Enjoy the rest of this weekend, pal.
Thank you, Mike.
All righty.
We'll see you, Dave.
Yeah, we're just blessed to have an independent investment team that watches over the wealth while Jeff and I are helping people. We're in front of people planning, strategizing, coaching, educating. But yeah. While we're doing that, we have a team behind us.
When we have a new client come in and we talk about their current experience, and I said, well, yeah, my guy, you know, he meets with me. He's watching the markets. I said, you can't do it all.
Right.
You know, while I'm meeting with you,
no,
I'm not watching.
And you can't go home and do it because you'd be exhausted and you just wouldn't do a very good job. So we're coming up on the end of the show, Jeff. It's been a lot of fun as always. Thanks to our special guest today, Roland Paulette. Great, great guests earlier on. Stefan Mihailu, thank you for calling out some of the hypocrisy out there. Dave Mariocker, of course, thank you. And also Brian Faraci, thank you. And if you need us throughout the week, folks, 633-1515. Esther, the tax lady, and her fabulous team is up next to talk taxes. For Jeff Boron, this is Mike Hayflick. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Stay listening to News Radio 930 WBEN.